Why her hand is wet this time. Have you ever heard the phrase, everything in moderation? Have you ever used that on your kids when they ask for another piece of candy at Halloween? No, you've never heard that before? I use it all the time. Everything in moderation. I think it's a relatively good thing to live by. I mean, it applies in a lot of ways. So, you know, everything in moderation when it comes to healthy eating. I mean, it's not that you can't have candy or potato chips. Just a little bit. You don't have to give it up for the rest of your life. Just a little bit each time. If you can, close the bag and put it away. Mm-hmm. Or everything in moderation when it comes to exercise. Because if you exert your whole entire body, you're going to fatigue it. You're not going to be able to move the next day. Those sore muscles are telling you something. You push too hard. Everything in moderation, even in a relationship. Because if there's too much we, too much togetherness, you start to lose yourself. And if it's too much just about me or yourself and what you get, you're pushing the other person away. So moderation works in a lot of areas of life, except when it comes to God. God does not like to be middle of the road kind of thing. See, God is not a small part of your life, like when you go to work or you go to school or you participate in an extracurricular activity or when you go and take care of one day project or 1 hour of a week. It does not. God does not get limited in that kind of a moderation. In fact, God is so much a part of everything that we do that it should be impossible to separate God from work, God from play, God from relationships with others. Moses, our first reading in Deuteronomy, is working really hard to make this clear to God's people. See, they've already been freed from slavery in Egypt, and he has led them through wandering in the wilderness. One whole generation has gone, the next has raised up, and here is Moses looking at these fresh new faces and trying really hard to help them see where God is in their lives. And he stands up and gives these series of messages as he's at the end of his life and as people's toes are right on the edge of the promised land that God promised to Abraham ages and ages ago. And Moses spends all of Deuteronomy giving these little messages, these sermonettes, about how much God has done for his people. Of how much God has done throughout the ages, and that now it was this generation's turn to take that next step in faithfulness, because so far their history hasn't been all that great. And Moses is working so hard to remind them of everything God has done, and now it's time for you guys to live into God's expectations, to live into this faithfulness. And he tells them at the end of his sermon, almost the end of his life, he tells them, I have put before you life and death, prosperity and adversity. Choose the life. He spelled it all out for them in Deuteronomy, all the good things God has for them and expects for them so that they can be a different nation. Choose the life, because there you will prosper. But if you choose adversity, you are choosing death. Choose life, he pleads with them. And then Moses passes away. Actually, he walks up the mountain and disappears from sight for everyone's eyes. And God's people are now stuck with this choice, this moment that gives them pause. What are they going to choose to do? Are they going to follow God into this new way of being? Not just this new place, but a new way of being. Or in this promised land where there are so many other peoples who worship so many other deities, are they going to be able to follow when it's rough? And it gives them a moment of pause. In our New Testament reading, Jesus does the same thing. He's got large crowds of people that are following him. He travels around. Some people end up leaving what they're doing to follow him and see just what this preacher is going to end up doing with his life. This one who speaks about God's presence being so near, just what's going to happen next. And Jesus needs them to pause, to think about what it is that they're giving themselves into. And he uses hyperbole, like what we do when we go, I have a million things to do today. A little over-exaggerated statement. Jesus says that if you would like to follow me, you must hate your mother and your father and your sisters and your brothers. Your friends will become your enemies. A little hyperbole, a little exaggerated to show them that this step that they're taking to follow God should be so much more loved than the things that they already do love. That in comparison, they hate the rest. That their devotion to follow the way of God should make it look like they hate the rest of things. That they are supposed to look for God in such a way that everything else doesn't quite matter the way it used to. It's supposed to give them pause to count this cost that it is to follow. Just like you plan a budget before you start a project, or before rulers sit and weigh all the options and try and figure out all the outcomes before they go off to war, it's supposed to give you pause. Because discipleship is dangerous. It means that you have to say no to some very good and wonderful things. And it means that you have to say no to things that are hard, that others may not appreciate you saying no to. So you say no to the job where someone's expecting you to lie for the company, to fudge some numbers, to put that file at the back. That you are saying no to being part of a team that would just pull too much out of you in the rest of your life. That you say no to a certain party or to watching a certain TV show. That you say no to laughing at a joke that puts down and degrades someone else even when everybody else is laughing. That you choose gentleness. You say no to being rough with people even though they have hurt you. You choose otherwise. It means you say no to looking down on someone else with disdain. It means you say no to love of money and to quest for power or recognition. It means that you say no to hate and to judgment. And especially in this world when everybody else is saying yes to that in a heartbeat. We troll each other just to try and get somebody else riled up. It's not something that you do in your spare time following God. It's not something that you set aside an hour of a week or even an hour a day to follow God. It's something that every moment of your life, every decision that you make is weighed with what message that shares about God, about what God would hope for you and your life. Discipleship is dangerous, and it's kind of hard because there's a lot of shiny other wonderful things out there that we don't say yes to. But if we pray with any honesty the Lord's Prayer, when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, that's a prayer for it to happen in us. But I want to remind you that you don't do that alone. That discipleship is hard and it is dangerous and it changes the way that you are and the way that you think and the way that you work in the world. It is dangerous, but you don't do it alone. Because your individual commitment to Christ is also our commitment to Christ. See, what you decide to do in your life impacts what happens to the people in this space. The way that you live out your faith is a model, an example, or maybe a warning to the rest of us on how to live out our faith, of what it's like to follow after God when things are hard and when our backs are against the wall and we're frustrated and we've prayed and nothing seems to happen. The way that you continue to trust God impacts this group, that we're here to support each other. Not just sit in one place and stare at a screen for an hour, but to engage with each other, to pray for each other when we're facing struggles, to encourage one another of, I haven't seen you in worship for a while. To ask about what's going on in our lives. How are you doing as that surgery is coming up? Or how do you feel after that's passed? We are here as a community, as leaves on the same tree, as vines connected to the same branch of Christ in whom we find our life. You are not alone. as you walk that very hard path. I know of your faith. I know of the ways that you seek after God. I know some of the things that you've had to say no to. For some of us, it's sleeping in today. For some of us, it's not cutting down a few more trees in our yard. It's not enjoying, you've had to say no to enjoying sunshine outside for a little bit of time. You've had to give up watching a certain game that your team may be playing. You've had to say no to things just to be here this morning. And for some of you, those were easy no's to say. And for others of you, those were kind of hard no's to say. And your phone is in your office so that you can check the score as soon as church is done. Just say it. There will always be easy and hard no's to say. But I know your faith. And I know the God that you put your faith in. Because for every no that we say, God calls us to a yes. So what may God be calling you to say yes to in your faith? Maybe it is coming to church more often. Maybe it is opening your Bible during the week and working really hard to understand it. Maybe reading a bunch of different versions so that you can get a good idea of what it means. Maybe it's forcing yourself to sit there with it and read the same verse 4 or 5 different times until you maybe kind of grasp it. Because discipleship is also hard work. Maybe God is calling you to talk to that person you really don't really care about that much, that you don't want to spend the time with, that has hurt you in the past but has worked to make amends and you still keep distance. Maybe God is calling you to talk to that person. Or maybe God is calling you to not take that bribe. Maybe God is calling you to say yes to a way of working in a place that is forcing you to make hard decisions. Maybe God is calling you to a whole list of different ways to say yes to God and find life in that yes. Because God has first said yes to you. To everything that you will face in your life, to the slaves that were freed in Egypt, God said yes to them first and brought them to a place of wholeness and life and is still working to bring you to a place of wholeness and life. Not because you've done something that's worthy, but because God loves you. That God has said that yes to you, so that you may also go back and say yes to God. Because I believe Jesus is still calling us to follow. Amen. Since we are gathered in this space,